It's great to be back.
Man, so many out here. Anyway,
I don't prepare my message for one or two because I think the message in and of itself is for individual. Whether it's 100, it's going to be the same as far as salvation and life goes. So I thank God for that. But please, this is a flaw you can chalk up to me. When I prepare my lesson, I prepare my outline in such a manner. It doesn't make a hill of beans of difference. Whenever I deliver, I'm going to go down through that sequence. That keeps me in order, if that makes any sense to you. So, some of these things you say, well, I wouldn't do it if it wasn't about 20 people here. But when I write, I write. I just go through. So, let me say first, again, thanks to God who allowed us to be here this afternoon. I think there are so many things that can distract you and get you thinking that you could be other places, and then it's important to be other places. But this is the place to be. And I know you say, well, great, why don't you come back up here? One of the things I think is so important for us is that we are diverse in God's word well enough, and I learned this from the military, that I can actually sit where I'm at and study and worship wherever I'm at, wherever you position that, you may not be able to travel. And that's why it's so important that you know it yourself, know the word yourself. So I thank God for the opportunity for us to come and fellowship together. That's wonderful. I also want to thank the leadership of the church. The leadership, it's imperative. I don't know, maybe people don't say it, but it don't have to be this way. Leaders are important. Good leaders are important. And I think we have excellent leaders here. We don't have in our church a false sense of superheroes. They're real people. And that's what you need. That's what you need. I can relate to somebody who struggled too. I can't relate to somebody who's never done anything wrong. I don't have a clue about this guy. I can only tell you what I'm going through. And I thank God's word for that. My church family, it's always good to come back and see the smiling faces. And people tell me that my birthday is this day and that day. That's fine. That's fine. I like that. That's good. And my wife. She was telling them outside, I'm going through all this as I go through. She was telling them outside, I didn't know this, she's putting Caleb out tomorrow, I believe. Ain't that what you're saying? He's healthy enough to put out. Yeah. Caleb was the one that was to the house. We had him in the garage, quarantined. He'd been two Sundays, ain't it? It's been two Sundays plus. So he ought to be straight, you know. And Joshua declares he ain't helped feeding the chickens and stuff right now. So he's getting away. He's getting a free ticket. And every time I go in the garage, I hear the game going on upstairs. So I'd be sick too. You know. Anyway. With that, my scripture reading will come from 1 Timothy 4, 1 through 12. 1 Timothy 4, 1 through 12. Like all scriptures, it's there. It never changes. It stays the same. So you've probably heard this before and used in many sermons. God lesson and messages is one of those multiple teaching things. It can teach in different ways, different things, and be the exact same word. That's how God's word is. And we're going to bring it that way. And when you have it, and I chose it because some of the things, like I say, what we do and what we go through that's effective for us. So when you have it, say amen. I'll read. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meat, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained but refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profited unto all things, having promise of the life and that of life that now is and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptations. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. These things command and teach. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in the word, in conversation, in the charity, in spirit, in faith, and purity. I know that's a lot there, and forgive me if you didn't understand. What we're talking about, what I want to talk about a little while this evening, just a little while, is living right. Living right. The reason I go through this, and a little bit of background on this, is this is Paul. Paul penned this letter to Timothy. Timothy was one of his apprentices that he brought up and he was teaching it. Paul penned this to Timothy. And what he's doing is establishing with Paul the characteristics and the thing he need to know to be an effective teacher of the word. He's preparing him for what is to come, how to deal with it, and to not get caught up. You say, well, Grady, how does that apply to living right? Trust me, if nobody was struggling with it, we wouldn't have as many different churches as we got now. See, what I just read for you, chapter 4, 1 Timothy, verses 1 through 12, is the exact same, and it is the same in every Bible you get. He didn't just give it to me. We all got that. But because in our desire to change and be more acceptable to society, we tend to move away from doctrine. We tend to rely on people. We tend to get into things that we trust somebody else to know for us. What is he talking about? Paul tells us as we go through, he said, starting at verse 1, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in latter times some shall depart from the faith. In latter times. You left this, you go into whatever else somebody else is talking about. When in fact, if you read this, then you know that pitfall was out there. That was out there. One of the problems, I think, or one of the things that occurs when you're not walking in the word and knowledge for yourself and living right, is that you tend to lose continuity, connection with God's word, if you rely on somebody else. Why is that important? If you're living right and your child or your friend or whoever see you, it is possible that you are teaching him to live right. And likewise, that's the same thing if you're not living right. So you say, well, where do I get the guidance to stay right from? Well, that's what Paul is telling Timothy here. Timothy is afraid. I don't know what Paul doing. Don't have what Paul got. How do I stay straight with this? You know, there's a lot of things out there. False teachers, the false prophet. We talked about it in church this morning. You know, the greatest threat to the church itself is the false prophet. The greatest threat. But the only way that you're going to know he's the false prophet is that you know this. There ain't no other. You can't rely on somebody else. You can't do it. Which puts you in a position of keeping the false prophet from coming and telling you that you're living wrong. That you're living wrong. You say, well, Grady, how did that work? If y'all please let me go back to when I first come here. I told you that I had a man, and I'm saying this to illustrate a point. I had a preacher, the head preacher from a Church of Christ, tell me, says, what can that church in Monroe, Wingate, what can that church in Wingate do for you? Listen to this. That's a white church. That's the preacher. That's the preacher. So if I don't know this, what happens to me? What happened to my belief? What happened to my children? What happened to me and my salvation if I'm following that? And if he's the preacher, he's up there, he's in there teaching this, how do I know, or you know, how I know that he's wrong if I don't study this? How do I know that? How do I know? So I need to study and live right on what I got here, what God has laid for me, the Word, the Spirit. It teaches you this. So when those false prophets come, I can fend that off. I've had people tell me, a serious religion, that you can't eat pork. You living right, you know the difference between what you can and can't eat. If you're not living right, if you're not living right, you buy that stuff. Now, this sounds crazy. But it goes to one thing and one thing only. Your knowledge of the Word and what you're living in. Don't come here with the Bible. Sit down and let somebody put this in your head. This is what Paul said. And Paul said, when you go out there, now you're going to have these things. You're going to have these deceptive spirits. You telling you, you know, you shouldn't marry and this, that, that. Listen, the Bible talks about all of this. Don't let anybody take your faith from you, your salvation from you. Paul goes on to say, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created. Forbidding to marry. That's from an authority, the church. How would you know? Well, you shouldn't marry so and so and so and so and so, or you should marry so and so and so. If you're where you are with God, you shouldn't be shopping for somebody that's not in the Word. Let me say that again. If you're studying this and believing this like you're supposed to and following the Word, then you know he is going to make sure you provide it with the right one. And when that problem comes, you know that it don't turn into a fight, a knockdown drag out. You got God in your corner. The reason why I'm putting it to you this simple like this is because living right entails more than dressing up and coming out here on Sunday morning. Living right has a greater ramification than just affecting you as you sit on the pew. Our youth, our children, the biggest thing, the best thing, I've told you, and I think I told you too, Rand, one of the things that I love is I can come out here, I can keep my kids wherever they're supposed to be. I can keep them there in Monroe and never let them come out. I didn't do them any justice. That's not reality. I could sit here and be a part of a world that sits here and says that this person is bad because they are that color. That means you promoting an ill mind, an ill thinking. You're letting that Satan, that evil spirit run through you. When in fact, there is no difference between you and I when it comes to salvation. None whatsoever. There is no nibout. There is no almost. There is no good, close. It ain't there. It ain't there. Everything that you thought, everything that we believe, everything that we use to separate us in differences and in statuses is separated from you at death. Trust me. Ain't nothing but your soul. That's it. So when it says, when it come here being deceived by the false prophet and telling you things that don't work or telling you things that only applicable to this, you're doing you, your family, and God's word a disservice by not studying that. Not studying that. I should be able to go to any one of my church family members, especially church family members, and get the same answer on right or wrong that I could get from my mom and dad. Is that not true? That's true. Right and wrong is right and wrong. When we say living right, I can say Randy, I can say Chris, I can say Mr. Jerry, I can say whoever it is. They're not a threat to me and my family. If you need to spend the night, go over there and ask one of them, can you stay? I don't have a problem telling them that. Now, after that, that depends on whether you were right or not. But when I say you, Miss Joy said, every time y'all want to, you know, you can come by and stay by my house if y'all don't want to keep go back. I believe and live by that. I'm not staying there, but trust me, my best got where I couldn't make it back home. Guess where I'm going? I'm going there. Randy, guess where I'm going? I'm going there. Guess where I'm going? I'm going. I'm coming out there, Mr. John. You're going to have to make me a place out here. You're going to have to tell me, great, I don't want you here. Because John is living right that I see here. I see you here. And I have, by Christian belief and understanding, I have to give you, my brother in Christ, face value. I believe that you're honest with me. I believe you love and care for me. I believe you don't have no intentions of hurting me. I don't need to fall off that, do I? I believe that. So Paul is telling Timothy, listen to me. These voices and these spirits that you got coming up or that you're going to deal with, you're going to have a lot of them that challenge you on what is and what's not. And here's what makes it so dangerous. You know, Tony and I deal with that. We had to deal with that with our son up in college. You know, because people have a way of twisting and spending Christianity to get the desired results they want. You ever wondered, how is it that I can teach this word and never fill up that pew? And you can see somebody like Joel Osteen got field houses full of it. Don't fool yourself. There's something not the same being said. There's something not the same. And people have a way of doing that. People have a way of fooling you. And the problem with that is that I raise him up or he starts believing that and he says that message to his child. And on top of that, when he died, his soul is subject to damnation because he sit here and believed something that was not right, that was twisted. One of the ways that you can tell, or I like to say, one of the ways that you can tell that something is close to doctrine like it is that you're going to have somebody who say, he stepped on my toes. You're going to have somebody say, that's my situation. You're going to have somebody say, I ain't going back to that church. That's how you know. That's how you know. See, I had to get to the point where I could face somebody and believe that his struggle is the same as mine and what you're going through, so I know that I don't quit and give up on the word. When Paul is telling him what to look out for, all these things create stumbling blocks when you're trying to convince your child, your whoever it is you're trying to get into the word. We're supposed to be bringing souls to Christ. When you're trying to convince him to get in here, you don't need to manipulate, alter, or twist God's word. The best thing you can do for him is tell him and live right. Living right. It's amazing how my father, he raised me. I told you he raised all of us at 5. But it's amazing how my closeness and my relationship with God did not grow until I got into that myself. He gave me everything I needed to survive in this society and world. He told me what was the right and the wrong about stealing and successful and all this other stuff and killing and hating your neighbor and all that stuff. He told me all that. But ask me, was he living right? What's important for us is to understand what right is. And if you're living right, then you accept the fact that you fall short every day. There's an adjustment that you have to make. And Paul is saying here, as we go on through, he said, but refuse profane and old wives' fables. Huh? And exercise that rather than unto godliness. For the body exercises profit is little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that is now is, and that is which to come. That's the part. That's the part right there. That is which to come. That's why we're in here. That is which to come. The way we get to the which to come, which is that part that we have to do, the transition. That's the death part. To get to the good part of that, we got to live right here. We got to live right here. You know, one of the things I hear a lot is that, you know, the youth nowadays don't want to listen. That's probably true. But I have to ask myself, am I saying and doing everything right that I should be doing if I'm telling the youth? Because listen to me. If you can get the youth in here in the church, if you can get them to come, if you can get them to listen, if you can get them to, then you are being effective in some fashion with God. Does that make sense to you? If I can get Greg, if I can get Amon to come here and listen, believe, and grow in the same God and trust in the same God that I'm trusting in, then I'm being effective in teaching the word. Am I not? Yeah, I think so. I think so. So when it comes time for Greg in Kingston to grow up, which is his son, they have a foundation that they can work with. I didn't say that it prepares him for his meat of glory. What it does do is put him in a perspective where he can learn how to live right. That's what's got to happen. He can face the next day. I can get him to say, oh, well, Daddy believed in those people. He loved those people. He said, go down and teach those people. I don't worry about it. You know, I'm up here putting in some plumbing in Albemarle, and my car broke or whatever it is, or my wife's struggling. I know Mr. Randy. I know some people up there. I can go see them. They're going to help me out. Huh? I can see Mr. John. I can call Mr. Jerry. You say, Grady, why you go back to that? Because that's the only way you're going to reach him. You're going to have to get to him and put his scenario in what's going on in the church today. And the way you do that is you live in right. I can't. You say, well, Grady, how does that relate to living right? I can't say one thing and live something else. Maybe, do that make sense? You know, I'm telling you, they don't mean this, they don't do that, but I'm sitting out there teaching and preaching when I'm somewhere to the house talking about hate towards somebody. That's crazy. That's ludicrous. It's called being a part of the problem and not a part of the solution. That's what it's called. Paul says to Timothy, beware of this. Hold true. Be the good example. You're an example, but are we the good example? And the way we do that, the way we do that is live right. He says, let no man despise thy youth. Let no man despise, but be thou an example of the believers of the world. That's what I want him to see. I want him to see the same character traits in you, Mr. Jerry, that he see in me. You, Randy, I want him to see that. I want them to, when my child gets ready to look for a wife, he should look for any of the traits and characteristics of the woman that's growing in Christianity in the church as it does my wife. Any woman of them, he should be looking for those characteristics. That is how That is how the system is able to help you bring a child or family up with the absence of another parent, because you all believe the same. There is nothing special required for John to raise a child of mine than it would be for me to raise a child of his, right and wrong, if you believe in Christianity. If you believe in Christianity. Ain't nothing different. If my son needs to talk with somebody about the word and he's struggling with something, he should be able to go to any one of you. If you're living right. If we're living right. And the way we hold them to that confidence, that belief that it's for real, is that we're all the same. Consistency, we're believing in that. We're following that regardless. So when he do get to that point and says, wow, so-and-so died, and this is bad, this is so-and-so, we all go through something. He knows that now. It ain't somebody just targeted him. Life didn't just pick him up. Life didn't just throw mud in his lap. He ain't the only one that lost a job. Living right. Living right. I go through this, and I listen to it. It says, neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying of the hands and of the laying of the hand and of the presbytery. What's that? Anybody read it with? But anyway, don't throw your gift away. God, listen to me. God give each and every one of us a gift. If your gift is used the way God has got it for you, it promotes and push the growth of his word and his teaching. His belief that you are the same, that we're all studying, that we're all growing the same way, that we're all in the same belief, that we all are living right. That we're living and last, take heed unto thyself and unto doctrine. Take heed unto thyself and unto doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this, thou shalt. And this, now I'm past 12, I'm down here at the bottom. This is 16. I want you to see this at the end of that chapter. It says, take heed unto thyself and unto doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. That's how you save your family. Living right. That's what that's about. That's how he's telling Timothy, that's how you save this. You're going to run into some issues. You're going to run into some problems. You're going to run into some stuff dealing with what you got going on. That's how you save this whole thing. Take heed to this. Living right. Living right. The example for doing right is not peculiar or limited to just me. If he's coming here to church, for any of us, they should be seeing or should see the desire and the will to live right in each and every one of us. I'm comfortable. I am. I can say it in front of the world. I'm comfortable with each and every one of you. I don't have a problem with it. Don't fool yourself. You can say one thing and act another way. Listen to me now. You're lying to yourself. You're either there or you're not. If you're not, go into God and counsel. That's the communication that we have to make. Whatever you do, do not depart from the doctrine. Living right. The best thing we can do for ourselves, this church, the community, this world, is live right. That's it. I apologize. If it wasn't what you wanted, I think sometimes we get so wrapped up into doing the tradition, the routine is that we sometimes put a routine act on our religious and salvation. You know, we come here and nod, yes, it's good, this, that. And a lot of times we're right, but sometimes we do it simply because it is Sunday. You know, you say, Grady, I ain't no routine person. Sometimes we are, sometimes we don't. I got certain shoes I wear on Sunday. That's a routine. You say what you want to. I know without question, though, I know without question that in my heart, my faith, my belief, and my foundation that I teach to my kids, you guys have helped us grow. I know that. It's reality. Not just to be or say that they're 100% right, but I don't have a problem coming. And I say this, I can't overemphasize this, because this is how you get respect from a person. I know you say, well, he didn't finish. One of the things in the military that helps us respect whoever we're in the foxhole with is to see him struggle the same stuff you go through. He said, I got your six. That means he's guarding behind you. You fall asleep, he's the one that hits you in the back. Hey, wake up, get up, you need to get up. But you can't run that foxhole by yourself, so you need him. And that's how we are. We need each other. So I don't have a problem saying that you got my six. I got your six. Living right. We have to do our part. God gave us every bit of it right here. We have to do our part. We got to do our part. There's nothing magical about it. It's doing our part. Every one of us at some point lives an apprentice life. But all of us constantly live life. And to be what God intended for you to do, you have to grow. You got to know it for yourself and grow. With that, I don't want to overstay my welcome. I don't want you to get upset with me. I know I run over a little bit. But I do want to make sure, please remember those are less fortunate than us, those that are on the sick list. Thank you for coming out again. And I can't overemphasize how important it is to come here and for us to do what we're doing. I can't overemphasize how, you know how I know that you love me? It's because of this and what you show me. I don't go off anything else. I don't go off voting apparatus or whatever. It has zero to do with that. It's kind of like when I jumped out of the airplane. I could care less as long as my parachute is open. Where he went with the plane when he left, I don't know. Maybe he went to McDonald's. I don't know. My parachute is open. You, the church family, you're my parachute. And I think living right is the right way to pull maintenance on it. So with that, we incorporate God's plan of salvation. We hear the gospel. Believe in Christ. Repent of our past sins, confess Christ, be baptized, and live faithfully. You can't flip-flop. You have to stay there. That's it. Once you get to that point, you realize then that you're not living for anybody. Particularly, you're living for God. That's everybody for all. Thank you again, and if anyone have a need tonight, we ask that you come now as we stand and sing.